and welcome to our Eurovision preview show, Eurovision 2024. First question, you might be asking, why is this appearing on a horse racing channel? Well, we've got three answers for that. One, look at all the flags we've got in our horse racing studio. Two, the Eurovision is well known as a Shrewdies paradise. And three, speaking of Shrewdies, Frank Hickey, who loves a horse racing tip and a horse racing trader, is here. And you are, Frank Hickey, an expert on the Eurovision.
Ah, I wouldn't say an expert, no. Stephen and me be in contact over horse racing, and he kind of pointed me down the road of Eurovision betting, and yeah, I caught the bug.
Yeah? How long ago did this happen?
Probably 6 years ago. I would have watched as a child grow up, like, you know, in peak Ireland Eurovision, like the 80s and early 90s. Probably in a little bit of a graph for it then, but...
Well, didn't really go so well for the Irish after that. But anyway, maybe this year things could change. You've already unveiled our other guest. It's Stephen Cass, who is genuinely a Eurovision expert. If anyone knows Stephen on Twitter, you'll know it's pretty much all you tweet about.
Yeah, well, for about 2 weeks of the year, yeah, it is.
Oh,
yeah.
More than well, is your profile still the same? Does it still say
yeah,
the same thing?
Yeah, I've never done it. I do, yeah. That's my profile. It says attempting to land the Grand National Eurovision double.
Did you get the first leg up? I am Maximus?
Nope. Meeting of the waters on that front, but yeah.
Okay, yeah. Not so bad. Well, we're going to go through a whole rake of markets. We are recording on Wednesday afternoon before the second semi-final, but we've got a fair idea of what's going to happen. At least the lads do. I have an absolute clue. But the lads do. So before we get cracking, a reminder to please do subscribe on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. If you are watching this, obviously, on YouTube. If you're listening on a podcast, watch it on the YouTube channel. Simple as that. Right, let's go, lads. I'm going to ask you some questions about Eurovision betting in general first before we get into this year's renewal. So the first one I want to ask, it's for anyone who's at back beginner level. Run me through, I'll go to you first, Stephen. How do you actually win the Eurovision? Because it used to be just people voted, but it's not quite that, is it?
Yeah, there's been varying systems over the years, but right now it's 50% televote, which you vote at home and you get 12, 10 and so on. 10 countries get points off each country, and 50% jury. It's actually slightly more televote because the rest of the world vote as well.
Right.
So there's 38 votes for televote, 37 for jury. But basically it's 50-50 split. The way they'll announce the results on Saturday night is we get the jury points first, and then the televote scores come in and kind of one bundle at the end. To your highest two jury scores will get their televote points at the end, and hopefully there'll be a bit of tension at the end. There is every year.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's 50-50. So you have to have a good song quality for the juries, and you have to have likability, good performance, good stage performance for the televote.
All right. Have you applied for the jury yet, Frank? You'd be a great man for a jury.
I'd be unbelievable.
Have you ever got jury duty, actually? There's a question.
Actually, one of the lads on the team got jury duty there 2 weeks ago, and I've never got it.
Okay.
But like, there's an easy way of getting out of it if you ever do get caught. Just go, he looks guilty.
I'm prejudiced against all races. Right. Let's see if that makes the show. So jury vote, and also you've got your televote. And I'm assuming there can be wild differences between the two?
Yes. Like, okay. Traditionally, televote songs are sort of up-tempo, catchy, gimmicky ones. Traditionally, jury votes, you're looking for big vocals. You know, the juries have four criteria for judging: vocal capacity, the overall impression of the act, the originality of the song. Can't remember the fourth one, but juries will tend to go for the song quality and the singer quality. To win, you have to hit both sides of the board. You can't just have one. Last year, Carrier was probably, I felt, robbed. Cha-Cha-Cha was second. He stormed the televote, but he finished fourth in the jury. Just didn't get him over the line. Loreen had a huge jury score. Not as good a televote score, but she won. You know, so it's kind of to find the balance, which song is going to hit both sides of the board.
Okay.
Like, was it 2 years ago Sweden won the jury and did appalling in the televote then, like, wasn't it?
Oh, that's a long time ago.
Two or 3 years ago, wasn't it? Two or three.
No, it was a lot. Well, yeah, it was the guy, John Ludwig.
Yeah.
That was about 6-7 years ago,
I know,
would you
believe.
There was
another one more recent than that.
Well, Hold Me Closer, Cornelia Jacobs, she did really well, but she kind of did well with both, finished fourth.
There was a fella singing.
We're struggling
there
here.
There was a fella singing.
Oh,
very good.
It's John Ludwig, that's what you're thinking of. That was like 6-7 years ago.
Do you know what?
Yeah.
Google, there was a fella singing in the Eurovision. And I got robbed.
Too late for love.
I'm just saying, like, how. Oh, that is.
Yeah.
Well,
he won the. The jury vote quite by a bit, didn't he?
And
televote was less than 100.
Yeah.
Like, so he ended
up. My miss is Australian, and I think Australia won the televote one. Won the jury vote 1 year, and then absolutely got slaughtered.
Yeah, they went 105 in the run that
did
year.
Did they?
And
yeah.
The televote, that was the year Ukraine won with Jamala.
Oh, sure.
And I think that might have been 20, whatever year.
But
it was.
Fair,
but she hasn't watched it since because she says it's rigged.
The excellent part of it used to be, like, when he goes, you know, when they go, UK, your televote score is zero, and the whole place. <Yeah.
laughs> That's anyway, great. Well, this is going out to YouTube internationally, including our friends over in the UK. Let's talk about how, I'm going to go to you, Frank, you would assess any horse race from a scientific nature. You'd look at the form, you'd look at where the horses are finishing. How on earth do you assess how good a song is going to do? Because you can't really be that scientific, or can you?
No, well, like I said, Steam has taught me a bit on how to approach it, but like, say, my way of going about it was, every year it's the same now. The week after Cheltenham, I don't look at it before then, too busy. The week after Cheltenham, I kind of take an evening, and I sit down and listen to every song. I haven't looked at the market, I have no idea where they sit, and I kind of give them an old comment and a grade out of 10.
And what would you then call that, Steve?
We call these the Frankings. We have a WhatsApp group, four of us, four middle-aged, overweight, white males.
There's some absolute bants in that group, I tell you, lads. Did you see the Ukraine entrance? Whoa! Right, so you basically just, you give every song its own rate, its own Frank rating, but what are you looking for and listening for, essentially?
Well, it's just like, is it a good song? Is it catchy? Can they sing? They're obviously YouTube videos, so you're wondering, like, how produced they are, like, as in, you know, can they replicate that live? So like say, when I was, without giving away how I'm leaning, when I was watching them this year, there was one country that I scored an 8 because it was like, can that person replicate that live? And then when I saw them live, I was like, holy, amazing. Like, do you know, so it was like, that was my 10 out of 10.
Well, don't you rein yourself back in from saying something bad there. Fair play to you, Frank. You're doing well. You're doing very well.
My body's under serious pressure.
You're doing very well. Stephen, I want to come to you because you take the whole contest as a very scientific approach, and the draw, we talk about it in the Epsom Dash, we talk about it at Chester Races. It's probably more important in Eurovision, is it? Or is it?
It's actually, well, there's two elements to the draw. One of them, everyone thinks first half, second half is the most important. Completely overrated. Okay. So, say the last seven winners, since we have the new voting system, four of the last seven have been drawn in the first half. But basically what happens is you're drawn, this year it's actually changed. You're drawn first half, second half, or producer choice. But even if you're drawn first half, the producers pop you somewhere between 1 and 13. So Loreen, they popped in 9 last year, still won. Kalush Orchestra, when they won for Ukraine, I think they were in 11. Måneskin for Italy were in 11. So if you were drawn first half, which Ireland are,
excellent.
As long as you're kind of between that 9 and 13 bracket, okay, you're okay.
Okay.
But you can be buried. The other side is that it is very important, because what happened with Malta, who had romped away with their semi-final when Destiny, Jim McCass that year, that was the Italy year as well, I think. Yeah. They had caused a bit of ructions in jury rehearsals and things, and were going on about sound quality, and apparently the producers did not like them, stuck them in 6. They finished 14th in the televote, after finishing top of the televote in their semi-final. Oh. Because if you're really early, you're just forgotten about. As the show warms up, people have a couple of drinks in them, or they're really more intently watching the show. That's kind of from 9 on, really, you want to be.
Okay.
So that's what I'd be watching for. Anyone buried around 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, they're the ones you'd be worried about.
You didn't mention one there. So does that mean one still has a chance?
I didn't mention one because Sweden are the hosts, but they're the only ones we know exactly where they're going.
Oh, okay.
They have drawn one.
Oh.
So Sweden are the show openers. Good show opener as well, up-tempo act. But yeah, okay. one is basically not a
has
great
one. Has one ever won?
I don't think so.
Okay. It might have, but you're not sure.
Like, the draw won't win it for you, but it can lose it for you.
Right, okay. All right. It's like a bad round in the first round.
Is there a change
in
the televote this year? Is the televote begin once the action
Yes.
Which will have an impact.
Yes, yeah, so you can now vote.
It'll minimise maybe the impact of the draw too.
You can vote straight from the bat. So you can vote when the show closes, but you, Sweden are on first, you can vote. You can start voting for them straight away.
If you like.
You vote multiple times.
20 times.
20?
20.
Up to 20. And it costs money to do that.
60 cents, I think.
My goodness. They are going to make a fortune. Okay, anyway, that's not the point. We want to make a fortune. That's the idea. Okay, again, a lot of people, like myself, Saturday afternoon comes along, I'll watch the Linkfield Oaks trial, I'll watch the Linkfield Derby trial, and then I go, oh yeah, that Eurovision thing's on. And I'll watch it for the first time, and I'll look at the market for the first time. But this has been live for how long, Stephen, this market?
Oh, it would have been live. It'll be live next Sunday in a way. You know, like a Cheltenham anti-post market, maybe not next Sunday, but they'd kind of have standard price. Sweden will be favoured, Ukraine will be up there, Italy will be up there, because they're always the countries that tend to deliver. And then you start getting songs in. This year we got France, geez, really early, like November maybe we might have got France. Theory being that they're hosting the Olympics this year, the their broadcaster kind of wanted out of the way. And then January, February, you started to get a drip feed of songs from national finals. So I would, and Frank would a little bit, and our friends would be watching the national finals. You know, we'd be staying in on a Saturday night watching the Estonian national final.
This WhatsApp kind of crack. Getting lit again. Never mind trials AHL, the real trials are on later.
If you have small kids and you're in anyway, this is the way to live. This is the way to live. So yeah, you're getting drip feeds of national songs, and then you have a flurry in March of all the songs getting released. And then, like Frank says, you're trying to see them live. You're trying to see their live vocal. What will the stage show be like? You're trying to think, how will juries react to this? What's the fan community saying? Your own first impressions, forget about that. Like, you're only one person. You need to be able to judge, how is Eastern Europe going to vote for this? Western Europe, what's it going to be like? What are the producers going to be thinking of it in terms of running order if they get producer choice, and so on. So it's a bit like a horse race, in that you're trying to take, you know, the trainer, the track, the ground, your time form ratings, your race and post ratings, whatever. It's more putting it all together than you going, I like the look of that grey horse over there.
Well, yeah, because you can't.
On a sunny day,
I have learned that, like, this, you know, there's a few songs, like Germany a couple of years, German Rockstar. I thought, this is a great song.
Harris,
and I said, look to the odds, he was like 250-1 and he finished last. Do you know?
Yeah.
And I had that probably my favourite, if not second favourite song on a lot of them. So, like, when you look then, you see, actually, the market's telling you this is no chance for a reason, because it was a nice song, but it was just a bit bland.
Right. Okay. One more question before we get into actually, again, the reason we have a show like this is there genuinely, lads and ladies, is a lot of money at gamble on this. And Frank's got actually some of the figures for us. But Frank, back to you. Stage production, you reference there, you do your Frankings and you look at something on YouTube and you go, can that be replicated on the main stage? So how important is it that they nail it for the judges and the televoters?
Oh, 100%. Very
really important.
Because last year I was very keen on the French entry. Lazara, wasn't it? What's her name?
Yeah.
And it was a brilliant song, but she absolutely did a hatchet job in the rehearsal, like the rehearsal for the jury vote, and it just completely killed her. Like, you know, I would have thought she was absolutely nailed on to be the top four. Maybe winning might have been a little beyond her, but I think she finished 14th or 13th because her vocal was way off live.
And how do you guys, because the jury vote is done on the rehearsal, is that right?
Jury vote's done Friday night. And what Frank said there is really important, because the juries, they're coming in Friday night, they're not sitting down in their seats watching this for the first time. They've been taking all the fan community into account. They've been listening to the rehearsals as well. They can't, like, a lot of these people are ex-Eurovision acts. So momentum is a massive thing with Eurovision. So you see Ireland now gaining momentum, Croatia gaining momentum. It can't be overrated how important that is, because those jurors, they're going in wanting to tip the winner by, you know, later on they'll be telling their mates, like, yeah, I gave that 10 points. And they're trying to get the ones at the top. The betting is a huge thing. Even the guy running the show, he's talking about how he wants the favourites in the betting to get better producer running orders and so on. So it does all feed into each other. You can't just say best song of the night, off you go.
You say the guy running the show, is that the boring fella they throw it to for the I verified the votes?
Martin Nushadal. No, he's like the kind of technical director. Oh, but okay. There's a producer. Another Swedish guy.
Production.
I can't remember his name. Yeah, I can't remember.
Martin something.
Yeah,
with a son at the end, probably. Okay. How much are we talking here? For what are you giggling at?
Is it Martin Eurovision?
That's his exact name. Very good. Talk to me about figures. Like, what kind of figures are we doing here? Paddy Power, Betfair.
Well, I'll just give an example of, say, looking at the betting exchange at the moment. So this was as 8 p.m. on Tuesday evening. There was 2.2 million matched on the main outright in Eurovision. Now, to put some context on that, you go to the Champions League outright, which has been running, obviously, all through the season. There's only like 100 grand matched. So, like, you're probably going to be looking at, by the time you get to the final on Saturday night, you could be looking at 6 or 7 million matched on Eurovision, potentially, depending. So it's massive, like. And even the turnover, you know, in the sports books, it's significant. Like, it's big numbers. You factor in the three brands we have. It really does. Maybe it's a little bit of a different demographic we'll be betting. You will get people crossing over, obviously, but, you know, it's something that, you know, a lot of people who mightn't be sports fans, obviously, like Eurovision, and like anything, people want to say, I picked out the winner early and I backed it.
So yeah.
They're kind of backing their opinion, so.
Right, okay. Let's talk about this year then. We've got a nice background into what makes a Eurovision winner. And we have to start, we're sitting here in Dublin, so we're relatively excited, or maybe you guys are. We've made a grand final. The Irish act Bambi Thug through to the grand final. How would I phrase this? to those who haven't heard the act, you could say slightly more different than the usual Irish fair?
Slightly more different. Lock up your priests, I would say. They're the ones. But yeah, like Bambi Tug, they, to me, are fantastic. I know Frank has a different opinion on the act, but honestly, I think it's the best staging I've ever seen for any Eurovision song ever.
Wow.
And maybe that's the paddywhackery hat on, but honestly, I'm hearing this from the fan community right across Europe are saying this. You know, it's something from the West End, big theatre, really well performed. It's dancing, singing, stage show, vocals are good. Like the song itself, yes, it's a bit jarring in parts, the shouting, screaming bits, but as a part of a stage show, it's incredible. And I thought in the semi-final on Tuesday night, Bambi absolutely nailed it. It okay. was amazing. And that was the view of the community, and I mean the community in Eastern Europe as well, and even outside of Europe. So Ireland is set for its best finish since Jedward finished eighth in 2011.
Jedward, there is a blast in the past.
2011, Jedward were eighth. That was our best finish this century. So I think we could be thereabouts, that kind
where
of a mark.
Where did the lad who was gambled into second?
Ryan O'Shaughnessy. He was gambled into second or third favourite, finished 16th. Really? He actually only finished sixth in the semi-final. It's incredible how well guarded the results are. You'll see things, there'll be betting moves and they won't correlate to where they finished at all in the semi-final. It astonishes me every year. But I would guess Bambi finished third or fourth, probably third in the semi-final Tuesday night.
Oh, okay, because you don't know where they finished. They released those figures later, is it?
Yeah, early on Sunday morning we'll find out the semi-final results, yeah.
So those who watched it on Tuesday and saw the Bambi Thug were announced as through to the semis, you know, kind of made it look like they were the last act in, but that's not necessarily the case.
I know, Bambi would have finished top four for sure, you know, but you'd be guessing it was Croatia, Ukraine, Bambi, but that was televote only in the semi-final.
Oh, right, okay.
So a completely different set of voting circumstances for the final, so you need to take all this into account.
Right. You're not a fan of them, are you?
Well, I'd agree with it. Like, if you look at production and the way it's put together, it's amazing. The song, it wouldn't be for me, would be putting a Miley.
Don't put a Miley, put it whatever
like,
you want.
To me, like, as in witchcraft, like, you know, Satan, kind of borderline
Satan. Bambi ringing there to get the real views.
Yeah. It's a supplier with some cheese, and he's ringing me frantically before the shop closes, I think.
So genuine thoughts on Bambi. Like, would you, okay, if it was...
Like it's not that I'm, like, you know, old-fashioned and only like, you know, certain type of song. Yeah. Like, Hitari, the Icelandic BDSM kind of heavy metal crowd were in 2019, and I absolutely loved them. Like, I thought they could win. They were completely left field, and this is left field, but the actual song itself to me is rubbish enough.
Okay,
enough. The production is very good, to be fair, but the song, tripe would be the word I'd use for it.
Okay, there we go. We got a frank view in the end. So that's contrasting views, I think it's fair to say, about Bambi Thug. Let's talk about the British entry. We were talking off air. Someone mentioned a famous guy singing, Ollie
Alexander. He's years and years, like, would have had two number one hits. He'd be really well known from It's a Sin. You know?
Oh, he's the actor in that.
Frank, you don't know anything about TV shows. You won't have seen that, I presume.
I haven't seen it, but I did.
It's really good.
I did read up on who he was and what he what he did and all the rest of it. So I'm aware.
No, again, Channel 4 show.
The production, the production of his is quite good as well, to be fair.
I thought it was a bit of a mess.
No, I thought it was good. The song is catchy, but it's good to do nothing, like.
Okay.
Yeah, not a good enough song.
Okay.
Like, they were... The UK were maybe second favourite when it was announced that Ali Alexander was going to be presenting, but gone way out in the market now. The stage show is fine. Like, it's good, in fairness.
It's not going to finish last, though. Like,
no.
So, there was a danger. When I listened to it first, it was, this could finish last. But then, the way they put it together, it won't finish last. But you're looking at, it'll be the right-hand side of the board, I would think.
Yeah, his vocals are too weak to do well with the jury. For such an energetic act, his vocals really struggle. So... Nah, can't.
Right, okay. That's the Irish and UK entries. Let's find out who wins. We've got a load of markets, which we'll get to as well, but outright winner is what I want. Frank, I'm going straight to you with a big smile on your face. Who wins Eurovision 2020?
Yeah, no, I actually had a bed pretty quickly after watching...
After the frankings.
After the frankings. It's embarrassing to call that now, so...
We will, though. It's okay.
But I think Wednesday... Definitely Friday morning, you'll have a very good idea of where you sit with this. But I think you might even have it after the jury rehearsal on Wednesday night, where Switzerland will be performing. And I just think it's when I watched the video first, it was like, it's a bit different. It's very different. And his outfit and stuff will put a lot of people off, maybe.
It's called Nemo.
Nemo.
Their outfit, right?
Their outfit. Absolutely out there. A bit like a flamingo. But... the singing is such a range. He goes from opera, there's a bit of rap. He actually sounds like Eminem. Stephen doesn't like it. I really do like it. The song is unbelievable. It's about their journey, finding out how, you know, they're non-binary and whatever. And it's actually very well.
That'll resonate, surely.
It's actually very clever, even lyrics and stuff. And the song's incredible. I think, yeah, I was really taken by it when I heard it. I was like, holy. When I watched them, Madrid, I think, was the Eurovision Madrid.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing. If they're able to replicate that sort of performance for the juries, I think I'd be pretty sure Switzerland will win the jury.
Okay. Vote. So that's Nemo.
And then it's just how it resonates with televoters.
And we're recording, as I said, on Wednesday. I think they're second favourite around the 7-2.
So, like, at the moment, 7-2.
Yeah.
Like, I think if you want to be proper, bold, just back it each way, it won't be out of the four.
Okay. Oh, that's four places. That's a good point. It is four places each way.
It's a super,
a fifth
betting on Eurovision, you know, like there's 36 countries that were down to 26 for the final, and the bookies pay four places, and which sounds, you know, like a normal racing field or normally, but really there's only six or seven contenders.
It's like the US Masters, you can rule out half the field, can you?
Yeah, but even more, like it literally there's about eight of them can get into the four. So that's why it's such a good each way betting market. What Frank said there about Switzerland, I don't like it. Like I do see, I actually think maybe it's the best song quality in the contest. I don't like the rap bit. I think
that's
it's kind of breathy and...
But it does sound like Eminem to me. Yeah. I thought, like, for him to be able to do that live, I thought, when I watched it first in the video, there's no way they'd be able to do that at the same quality. But his vocal at the opera bit is amazing. The rap to me is amazing. The whole song.
Yeah.
There's a bit of kind of drum and bass in there.
Just the opera bit's incredible.
There's some contrasts in it, like, but it just comes together and then you're like, yeah, as Eurovision goes.
Big on Switzerland. All
it's
right.
10 out of 10.
What's your outright selection?
Well, I think it's important to talk about Croatia because they're, you know, 5-4 favourites.
Yeah.
So we were talking earlier that to win Eurovision, you need to go both sides, jury and televote. I think the way it's going, like I'm not crazy in the Croatia song. I think it's a little bit dated, a little bit Linkin Park. But what I think is irrelevant because everyone loves it. Went down huge in the arena in the semi-final. So not liking the song doesn't matter. This is hitting home and it's going to get a big televote. But I think Switzerland, Italy, Ukraine, France could all and will all finish ahead of it in the jury vote. Okay. So we're looking at fourth or fifth for Croatia. Now, Måneskin finished fourth in the jury, top of the telly. They went and won. Carrier had a record televote and couldn't win from finishing fourth in the jury vote. Are Croatia good enough to finish maybe fifth in a jury vote and have a high enough televote in a very high televote year? You have a lot of televote songs this year, the likes of Finland, the likes of the Netherlands, Italy, and Switzerland. So there's an awful, I don't think they're going to get a high enough televote to get over the line. I think this might be the first year in a while that the favourite gets done. So I'm looking to take on Croatia. I think Switzerland, I think the staging looked very cold. I thought the outfit was poor, so I'm not sure the televote's going to get there. But I do think they'll be in the four. And the other two I think will be in the four are Ukraine and Italy. Ukraine, with the vote for Ukraine because of the situation with the war and everything, they got 196 televote points last year. You basically need to get about 350 points to be guaranteed fourth place, right? They're going to get about 220 televote points minimum this year. They might get 250 because the song is really good. It's atmospheric. Vocals are brilliant, aren't they?
Yeah. Again, the rap bit to me lets it down. The rest of it's brilliant.
Yeah, but they're going to get a good televote, maybe 200, 220 points. They only need like 110 points.
And they will.
Jury vote, and they're guaranteed that. So they're going to get 350 plus points. With a fair wind, if Switzerland isn't that popular, if they hit both sides, they could go on and win. So they're 10 to 1, backing them each way.
Right.
You're 50 odds, you know, you're getting...
You're making money.
You're making money. Top four. And the other one, I think Italy, who we will see on Thursday night, I think she's the best vocalist all round. It's a contemporary song, will do really well with juries. Maybe Switzerland will win the jury. I think Italy will be second. I think Italy could be second in the televote as well behind Croatia. Second, more points, and I think they could win. I think Ukraine, you're kind of backing them, maybe they'll win. I think Italy genuinely could win, and they're 8-1. So I'm backing the two of them, backing Italy and Ukraine. It's a bit filthy. It's not, feels a bit, no, you're back in two.
You'll be all right.
Sure, yeah, count right. closer, yeah. if you can get on. But
the only thing well to kind of figure out, like last year was very lopsided in that Sweden and Finland dominated completely. Like, you know what I mean? While you were saying Finland getting such a high telly vote couldn't catch up because there was no depth behind it. Well, this year there probably is six or seven songs that are going to do...
A lot of telly votes. Right,
yeah, that are going to really split that vote up a bit. And even... You know, well, I think Switzerland will win the jury vote. It's not a done deal either, as you said. You could easily have France, Italy.
Yeah, and the jury vote tends to be tighter. So you could have a jury vote winner with 250 points, Switzerland, and then 240 Italy. 200, it could be, like, it tends to be very tight, you know.
Like, if you got to a stage where Croatia in the top three after the juries, then it'd be like getting an exchange. And even though it'd be short, there'd be absolute certainties to win then, like, if they get top three.
Yeah.
In the juries.
I think so. I think you're right.
A snapshot of the WhatsApp group, is it? Just that last kind of 3 minutes about talking about 250 points for jury votes.
I hate it.
It's me bombarding them with Excel files where I'm working out the maths.
Excel files on the Eurovision. Yeah. Okay, well, look, we are here. So, right, so a couple of each way. Well, selections, bit of filth in the each way. I want to get then a country who could overperform, who are double figures. Give us someone who might sneak into that fourth spot or maybe even, who knows, win it. It can happen. Frank, someone or a country at a big price?
I thought small chance, maybe if you look for a wild one, Sweden, maybe. I know I'm kind of robbing from Stephen too, but we were kind of did our homework separately.
Drawn one?
I just thought, like, again, drawn one, but like you have the home crowd, like, you know, they'll get votes just because they're at home. But also then it's really catchy. Like, you listed first, you go, is this going to be a Faithless song? There's that beat in it, like, you know, it's actually really catchy. Two twins singing it. A lot to like about it. Could do well with the telly vote as well, like, and you imagine, as I said, because they're the home crowd, they'll get a bit of love from the juries as well. So maybe top four might be pushing it, but I'd definitely look at them in the top 10.
I assume there's loads of derivative markets, so we can get to kind of, you could go top 6, top 8, top 10, something like that, I'm sure.
Yeah, you get 3, 5, 10. It kind of, we should talk about where Ireland are going to finish as well.
Yeah, no, I was going to, I kind of sort of have to
it kind of feels like with Sweden, if you were to ask me as well with the big price, like, Powers are now 90. To be honest, they were Paddy Power were 200-1 last night. I think they'll be 200-1 again on Saturday morning.
Sweden,
yeah. And maybe then I would have a little tickle. You nearly always get someone at a huge price placing, but the top of the market is so condensed and so strong this year, I actually don't think you will. I think the top four will be the top four. So I'd be slow to do that. But you can look at them in the derivative markets. They're kind of even money to be top 10 now. I would have them kind of 9th, 10th, 11th in my, like, models would be a stretch now. But you know what I mean? Like, in my spreadsheets, they're coming 9th, 10th, 11th. So even money.
He's not watching. Yeah. Throw the model in the bin.
Even money 10th is kind of where you'd be talking. And then, like, people are saying, where will Ireland finish? Like, Ireland could, with the, like, it has happened before when Austria won, when Conchita Wurst won, and when Portugal won. They were big price. I mean, Austria were 50-1 at the start of the week. Portugal were 12s and 14s. There was another one that came with a kind of a run and won it. But you can come with a fair wind, gain momentum. You kind of don't know where it's going to end up. Ireland is that one this year that could.
What was the biggest price that you saw about Ireland that you can think of?
Was there any fancy last night?
There was loads of 66s and 80s. Loads.
How long ago?
A week ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Less than a week. Checking, like, it was 80, 85-1
okay.
A month ago.
Ireland could sneak into the top four because the televote, it's so impactful. It's kind of hard to see where the televote will go and hard to see what the juries will do. But like I say earlier, with momentum, it could get a lot of points. You kind of need to get 340 points to get up to fourth. So I could see Ireland getting, you could get 200 televote points. If it does, it's going to really damage Croatia because they're two very televote heavy songs, which probably lets an Italy or a Switzerland sneak in for the win.
Like, I don't know what you think, but I was thinking, like, your even total points needed to win could be lower today or lower at the weekend because it's condensed. Do you know what I mean? Where there's no runaway on either.
Yeah, the weighted average of the points, now there's less points now than there was 7 or 8 years ago. The weighted average, you need about 530 points to win, but the Netherlands won it, Duncan Lawrence, that year with Arcade with 498 points or something, and it feels like that kind of year. I think 480 points, you're over the line.
Yeah, with the shape of the betting, like, you know, last year, I think
we bore you with all these points.
Sweden were about 4-7 at this stage last year, weren't they? And Finland were like 7-4.
Yeah. Oh, no.
You want the rest. So, like, it's a very different. Like,
it's an Irish maiden hurdle in November, essentially.
Yeah, yeah, basically.
Well, it was last year, but
the point is that it becomes easy then for maybe 100-1 shot to finish in the four when you've got a makeup like that, rather than it's a lot more condensed now where, you know, you're looking at, could France do really well in the jury vote and nick the top four off the back of it if the tenny vote is split three or four ways? Like,
okay. So. Position. You have a range of three. You can give me fourth to sixth or seventh to ninth. Where will Ireland finish? Where will Bambi Tug finish? I'll give you a range.
Where do I hope?
No. Where do you think they will?
I would think, like, look, the momentum's obviously, you know, with them. I would think, like, sixth to tenth.
Sixth to ninth, okay. Where will they finish?
Yeah, it's seventh or eighth. I think it's going to do well with the televote, maybe get 150 points, and then it's, you know, juries aren't going to give it a huge score, I don't think.
Yep.
I hope so, which, though. Dublin 2025.
It's not one where you go, that's nice. It's like, you're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. And you even see that here, like.
Yeah, that's a very small sample size, but to be fair, we're chatting about it, and that's going to be the same conversations in other WhatsApp groups, I'm sure. Frank, jury vote winner. Give me the jury vote winner, please, because it's so different, as you guys said.
Yeah,
Is there value there?
I think Switzerland. Again, I think you'll have a fair idea after tonight. The videos will be going out where you'll see some of the rehearsal for the juries, which they'll be basing their votes off.
Okay. And how do you get those? You're just on YouTube?
Go on Twitter looking
no,
for them.
No,
you can't get them technically, you know, the full rehearsal videos, but so I'll send you them later.
Yeah. But it's just more to make sure, as you said, Nazara messed up her vocal last year and her chance was gone.
Yeah.
You just basically don't want them to ruin it. Like, they can't win it, but they can lose it.
Okay. Mm. This is like the Constitution Hill gallop at Kempton.
What I don't want to know is rehearsal tonight and next thing Switzerland are 10 in the exchange.
Fell off the disc.
Something's happened. He's fell off the disc.
Yeah.
Okay. Jury vote winner?
Maybe France or Italy. Don't have a strong view.
Okay, fair
enough.
Yeah,
I'd be Switzerland.
France is a nice song.
Maybe Switzerland.
France is brilliant. Yeah, but I've fallen for France really every year. It is just, I don't know what it means, but I think it's something about red wine, smelly cheese and a baguette. Again.
He does say je t'aime as well. He does. I read the lyrics. He says I love you as well.
Brilliant.
It's a lovely song.
It's a brilliant song. Yeah. Brilliant performance. But it'll do terribly, I think.
I just think it's a nice song. But yeah, I've fallen into that trap. Well, that's a lovely
song. He's standing about
old white men would like it. I'd say, kind of.
Yeah,
they don't really vote that much.
Exactly. No, I never voted.
20 votes for me.
60 cents.
They'll be all going to Switzerland.
60 cents. I think I'm a millionaire. Right. I'm told. Actually, no. Just before we go into the specials, any other kind of markets? There'll be loads available on Saturday night. Some may not be priced up by the time this goes live, but what are you looking at? And this, particularly yourself, Stephen, you would have a good look at the kind of top 10 and all the other bits and bobs.
Yeah, like we talked about Sweden top 10, and this really is the specials as well, because, you know, we don't have a lot of markets yet, but I would be looking at top Baltic is a straight match, Lithuania and Estonia. Okay. Lithuania, good song now, but I have a feeling that they've drawn first half. I have a feeling they might be popped in thirds. If Sweden first, they'll put a downbeat, then they'll go Lithuania, bop, bop, get the party going. Thirds, very hard to score points from. Estonia are 7-2. That's the hoodabella. There's a load of old white men baiting around the place. Bit like Moldova that time.
Is that a positive or a negative?
Like, it's grand. Like, it's noise, but it's gonna resonate with some televoters.
Yeah. Sure.
It's going to get a small amount of televote points. Both of these songs are going to be, I think, like 15th to 20th. And you're getting 7-2 with powers at the moment, Estonia, in that match. I just think Lithuania could be totally forgotten. 7-2 seems a bit big for me. Top Baltic,
Confirm
Estonia.
The countries that are in the top Baltic market, please.
Estonia, Lithuania, Latvia. Latvia probably won't qualify on Thursday night. Okay. So you have a straight match.
Oh, so it's just two.
That's a shame. Another lad belting out a song.
Yeah. Another shouty male ballad, Frank. That's exactly what you love.
Doesn't win. Have you got anything in those extra markets that caught your eye, Frank?
I was kind of half liking Sweden top 10, about 11 at the moment. We guess it's going to be about 11 to 10 even money.
Okay.
Finland top 10. Stephen doesn't think they'll do well enough.
It's the fellow with the fireworks, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Windows 95 fan.
Oh,
it's
hilarious.
It's so funny and fun. Okay. I think he'll do really well to televote. Now, maybe it could be one that gets like about 15 points with the juries.
I think the angle you should be going there, I think with powers are 15 to 2. Like, if you're saying they're going to get top 10.
Scandinavian.
If they finish top 10, they're finishing ahead of Sweden probably because they're pushing Sweden out.
That's fair enough.
15 to 2 top Scandi there.
Yeah, that's probably the route to go.
Can we redo that and Frank tips that up?
I know the Scandinavian countries, so that's okay.
But like I said, it is very funny and it's quite catchy and upbeat and stuff as well. So, yeah, I was looking at Finland and one, it'll probably get knocked out of the semi-final, but if Albania did manage to get through the semi-final on Thursday, I've had like a tiny bet, like 20 quid at a hundreds to finish top 10. Just I thought it was the kind of song, like, if you listen to it on the radio, you think that's Sia's new song. But yeah, the stage and stuff might be great. I think it's a grand song. If it gets in, I thought it would do okay with the juries song. And might be one of those weird ones to come from left field. But as I said, you might wait until after the semi-final.
Yeah, fingers crossed they're through. And then
at the moment, she'd be like 11th in the betting to get through. So she'd
she's on the money.
Not to get through.
She's on the money. That's Albania. So I did actually, it's one thing I meant to bring up at the start with the questions about Eurovision in general. If YouTube views are anything to go by, this is a done contest. This is my scientific research of 10 minutes. The Netherlands song has been watched by 22 million, or has had 22 million views.
We haven't even talked about the Netherlands.
We haven't talked about it. The rest are like somewhere between 100,000 and 1 million, or 2 million. Or 3.
I'd imagine Italy's probably 50 million or something.
I
actually don't know. Don't pay too much attention to
it. I was going to ask.
Netherlands is miles.
Like, it's number one in the Netherlands, you know,
right, okay.
as a song. The thing with the Netherlands is it's such a huge televote song, the juries will pan it. But they might do really well with the televote, like as in they could finish second or third, but the juries are going to have them 8th or 9th, so they'll be coming around 5th, 6th, 7th.
Yeah, he did throw in the bit about his dad at the end, hoping to tug on a few hearts. Isn't it, to maybe get a bit out of the jury, but
I feel like it's kind of the wacky quirkiness. He's nearly almost, it feels a bit too like laughing at Eurovision rather than with as well. Same with the Finland
song. Called Europapa, isn't it? Like, I mean, Dustin tried the old Eurovision in the song title, didn't work. It was one of the great Eurovision entries.
Oh, Johnny Logan had a song about Meet You in Europe Tonight, so it's good enough for Johnny.
It was only about 3 days ago. Netherlands were about 6.4 or something on the exchange. They've gone for a bit of a walk, but
we are quite lucky. As in Ireland are, that Johnny's not representing us anymore. Didn't see his performance on Tuesday.
Night, excuse me, what was wrong with it?
It was brutal. He couldn't sing any of the parts apart from the chorus.
To be fair,
awful.
He got a great hair job, is what I'd say.
Wouldn't mind
finding out where he got that done.
I thought he absolutely butchered the song. But anyway.
Well, I won't be doing this next year unless we have a different host. Anyway, someone talking ill of Johnny Logan. That's
I didn't say he had to say that was a bad performance. I think he was better than the McDonald's ad, to be honest, when he did that. All right, before we go on to something we'd like to enhance, which will be available on Saturday on the Paddy Power website, what about who finishes last? I mean, it's probably a bit of crack for a lot of people seeing Neil Poix.
As I said, it was great for years ago when there was five of them in a row got 0 points in televote, and it was
we haven't mentioned who we're talking about, but anyway,
last year for you.
Go on.
Netherlands, so, UK that year all got.
Who finished last?
My gut saying Luxembourg at the moment, they're about 8-1 and they've got a first half draw. Really poor song. Like, they basically got through because the EBU gave them the pimp slot in the semi-final. They managed to squeeze in. It's a nothing song. It shouldn't perform at either side of the jury. I think Luxembourg will be in the bottom three and you might get 6-7-1 to finish last, something like that.
Okay. All right. Frank?
And funny enough, we were playing golf this morning and I asked him who he thought would finish last. I think Spain are in danger of finishing last, but Luxembourg getting through. Oh, you kind of land on Luxembourg as well.
Oh.
Around the same price.
Spain will be favourites.
Spain to finish last.
Yeah, Germany will be up there.
Yeah, Germany. I listened to the German song. I thought, this guaranteed to be last. But then I saw him last.
He's a shouty white man.
His vocal was good. He'll get enough to not finish last.
He probably will get a few jury points.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, he's singing about something about running. And I was like, which is ironic enough, because I say he's done a whole pile of running himself. But
unlike yourself.
Oh, like, hey, I'm in a position to say
Well, yet no, you no. did. you did.
Two was getting a buggy playing golf this morning, so we wouldn't have to walk.
The buggy struggling to go up the hill, carrying us. But I think Germany won't finish last. Spain are in danger. Surprisingly enough, again, the lady singing, I was surprised that she's only 54. She looked very, like, feeble and frail in her performance.
Okay, Luxembourg. Anyway, to recap, poor old Luxembourg. Not a great horse anymore, is he? And also going to finish last in the old Eurovision. As I said, teed up, we're hopeful to have a nice little turbo power price on the Paddy Power website on Saturday based around selections. So we're going to put a double together. So you have to pick two different selections. Frank, you get the honour first.
I'm going to go Sweden top 10.
Sweden top 10.
Safe enough, yeah.
Should be, we don't know the price, but it'll hopefully be a little bit better.
It'll be around even money, roughly. Yeah. Like, grand even money, potentially 11 to 10.
Double that up with, please, Mr. Cass.
I think you'd be getting something like 6-4, 7-4, both Italy and Ukraine to be in the top four. And I think, based on my outright selections, the tip and the two of those each way, I'd be pretty confident in that one.
So which one?
I'm saying both. Italy and Ukraine, both to be in the top four.
And
Sweden top 10. If we boost that one.
Lovely, lovely. All right, watch out for that on paddypower.com. Right, As ever, with any of our shows, with any of the gambling that you do, do check out responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. We do want you to gamble responsibly. As always, do check it out. Loads of tools available to you. That sounds great, crack. Saturday night plans, Frank?
Well, Cork are playing Limerick at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock throw-in?
So...
Okay, so you're double screening.
Yeah, so the first six aren't getting any luck.
Sweden, you won't even see them after taping
That's
them.
That's it, like, they'll be doing the running order. For feck's sake, lads, we're clashing with Cork and Limerick. Well, no chance out.
You could put Cork Limerick on the player and just have the audio, though, from the Eurovision.
I could do that, yeah. But
the notion that Cork could still be in that match now after an hour.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah, you'd be long gone by then, anyway. All right, so you're watching
I'll watch Cork Limerick, I'll watch Eurovision then, and... yeah, Oliver will go to bed just around the time Eurovision starts.
Excellent stuff. And that's
half time, maybe
the
Cork
line
game.
Is open. And lovely stuff. It's probably a big event, maybe marked on the calendar in your
household. Yeah, big event in our house. I have an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old, and they're absolutely Eurovision crazy. And my wife has been dragged kicking and screaming, and eventually I broke her down.
Wow.
And she's a big Eurovision fan now as well. Big Bambi fan. So Crown the Witch. But yeah, we have kind of an alternate universe family that have all the kids the same age. The parents are mad into Eurovision as well. Scott, that's on our WhatsApp.
Yeah.
So they're coming over, and another friend is coming over, Eurovision nuts. So we'll have a little party. And
how do you manage that? Because usually it's just me and the missus, and I'm just on the phone watching, you know, the exchange and the markets. But you've got to host. So are you able to watch?
Oh, the punting.
Yeah.
It's
all done at that stage.
I'm not, like, Eurovision's meant to be a trader's dream. I'm not a trader. Like, I think it's the horse racing punter in me. Is
okay.
I might try and get out of something small, but no, I'm largely, bets are done.
Okay, bets are done. You get to enjoy it as it. But then, again, even following the market with the changes, probably a lot of change. Anyway, look, sure. However you enjoy it, your Cork Limerick, Eurovision doubleheader, your massive party with a gazillion kids and everything else. Thank you so much for watching. Please do enjoy the Saturday. I'm sure you all will. Saturday night, I'll be watching it. The lads will be watching it. We'll be back next time with probably more horse racing content. But enjoy the Eurovision on Saturday. And it's going to be deuce point for Bambi. Fingers crossed.